Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gary Stewart of Conscious Connection. I'm so glad to speak to you today. I'm interviewing author Liberty Force about her forthcoming book. And she's an incredible woman who I had her on before discussing her medium and psychic skills, which are profound. And for her life story, she followed a traumatic childhood and endured decades of ill health and developed a significant heart problem in her 30s. But after years of physical suffering and having run out of option, she recalled numerous stories of people who have cured themselves from terminal illnesses. And so she vowed that she'd become one of them, which she is, and her research and experimentation have led her to an astonishing self-healing over the following months. So she's an award-winning author of several books. Her forthcoming book, which we're going to discuss today on Conscious Connections, so it's a sneak peek at what's forthcoming for her, which is always going to be amazing. And it's her own story of self-healing. And we're no better, as we know with shamanism, we're no better than being a wounded healer that gives us many more talents than we realize. And we've walked through the fire so we can really help other people get there. But she's also known as an international psychic medium, and she specializes in assisting people in overcoming challenges. And, of course, she's had enough extraordinary difficult in her own, but she, in the darkest times, there's always hope. And I've been on her show about hope, and it's just absolutely wonderful. So let me get Liberty on the line right now so we can talk to her about her forthcoming book. Hello, Liberty, are you there?
I am so.
Great. Wonderful. Wonderful. I just got a mouthful of your new book stuff out there for our audience of Conscious Connection. So I'm very happy to be interviewing you about your forthcoming book. Our last show was wonderful about your... Yes, yes. I'm very excited about it. So, you know, the best way, I think, for, you know, I'm a wounded healer type myself, you know, with my constellations and shamanism background and whatever, and there's no better person to help other people because they've walked through that fire on their own. So what was your traumas in your childhood that led to your ill health as an adult in your 30s, like I mentioned in your bio?
Well, it was... Like so many other people on the planet, I grew up in a very toxic, frightening environment with a lot of abuse of all kinds, and it was just fear from one minute to the next, kind of always waiting for the next attack of some sort. And by the time I was about 8, I was waking up at night with panic attacks. I didn't know that's what they were, of course. I thought everyone did that. I thought it was normal to wake up in the night shaking so hard that your teeth are chattering and just lie there for the longest time like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I never thought to say anything to my parents because, well, it's not that that would have made a difference anyway. But, we don't need to go there. But but I didn't know what that was. I just thought that was normal. And I left home at 16 thinking, right, leaving all that craziness behind me, and I'm going to go live, you know, ride off into the sunset and live a great life. It kind of didn't work like that. So by the time I was in my late teens, I was a divorced single mom for the first time. And I still had these panic attacks. I had ongoing anxiety. I had OCD. I was at the beginning of a 9-year battle with anorexia. I became agoraphobic. And then to deal with all of that anxiety, because all those things are anxiety disorders, I ended up having an addiction. And so then my physical health went. And as I've since learned, all that anxiety, constant anxiety and fear for years, really did a lot of damage to my body. So by the time I was about 20, I started having a lot of physical problems. I had kidney troubles and I had joints dislocating and I and all sorts of things. So it just continued to get worse, even though through my 20s, eventually I cleaned up all the anxiety and the addiction and all that stuff, but I was left with this terrible physical health and the ongoing repercussions of making terrible choices because of the things that I'd learned in my upbringing. So I kept getting into one mess after another, and now there's a ripple effect with my kids, and some of them were having issues. And so there's all this stress. But it really, the root of the worst of my physical health was in being bombarded with stress and anxiety for decades.
Yeah, that's amazing. And did you feel like, your inner self was guiding you to question if the dysfunction was the normal?
Not really. No. I was 30 before anybody ever used the word abuse in my life. And I was a psychologist, you know, I was this professional who said it. Well, first it was a friend. And I said, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, this is, you know, that's abusive behavior toward you and your kids." And
right.
What? How can you not know? Mm-hmm. So then I go see her psychologist, and he wants to know my history. So I tell him about my childhood and, you know, my life and all everything that had gone on till then. And he's confirmed this. He's like, "Yeah, you're being abused. You've been abused since you were a kid. What? How do you not know? But it was just normal."
Right. Right, exactly.
So, yeah, I'm not one of those people who understood that there was something really wrong with it. It just seemed to be the way things were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what other kinds of health problems did you have?
Well, I was well into my 30s before I learned that I had chronic fatigue syndrome, which had been the case since I was about 20. I didn't know, because, I mean, it wasn't really a thing, you know, then. But that was causing my knees and my pelvic joints to dislocate regularly. It was ridiculous. I stepped out of my van one day, dislocated a hip. I remember walking down the stairs in my house one day, and I dislocated my knee, and I was off it for weeks. Sort of thing was quite, yeah, it was. And then, again, as a single parent, and you're trying to function with joints dislocating, it was awful. I had migraines all the time. I had liver problems and kidney issues and hormonal issues. I almost died with the birth of two of my children. And then in my 30s, when I'm underweight, non-smoker, lots of exercise, I walked regularly. I had a ridiculously healthy diet, you know, eating grains and vegetables and whatever, all these great things. I had my first heart attack in my late 30s.
Oh, really?
And and doctor was like, well, he said, you know, you've got no risk factors. It must be the stress of your life, because he knew my history. And he just said, it's all that stress. So that was kind of scary. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it a serious heart attack or mild or?
Mild, but there were so many of them. And then I had unstable angina. And when you've got unstable angina, it happens for no apparent reason. And it can be triggered by, well, nothing. I could be lying in bed and struggling to breathe, and I could feel my jaw was tingling, my arm is tingling, you know, like impending heart attack. And I was having homeopathic treatment then, I think I'd already become a homeopath, and I kept taking remedies to sort of stave off the symptoms, and, you know, I was taking all these heart attack remedies all the time. Without those, I'm sure I would have been dead. But they would act like nitroglycerin or whatever it is that people take conventionally. I lived like that for years, and it was so debilitating. And I got to the point where I became suicidal at one point. I was so sick of years of living like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my kids are wondering. My kids are wondering which day they're going to come home and find me dead.
Awful. That's not good for them to live in that fear as well. So, did you have any risk of, you know, say genetic predisposition for heart trouble? Like, did it run in your family, or did you have other risk factors, or do you think it was just a reaction to all the emotional traumas you endured in your youth?
Well, I was, as you know, I was adopted, and I do know my birth family, and it's mostly cancer. There's lots of cancer on both sides, but as my aunt put it, everybody dies so young of cancer, we don't live long enough to get heart trouble. I had a grandfather who died of a heart attack in his mid-60s, but that's the only one that I'm aware of. No, it wasn't. It didn't seem to be a genetic thing. It was purely all the emotional stress from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And body response.
And with the cancer deaths, that's pretty... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
No, and with the cancer, just to not just discount the cancer deaths, though, and what type of cancers were prevalent? Was it in the mother line and the father line?
Yeah, mostly from what I've heard, well, certainly there was lots in my mother's side, a lot, all kinds, like breast cancer and intestinal cancers and skin cancer. Mm-hmm. My mother, at 6 months old, nearly lost her leg because she had a really fast-growing cancer. And then she had breast cancer as well when she was older. So, but there's lots of kinds of cancer. And then I do believe I heard that there was quite a bit on my father's side too, but I know less about them.
Mm-hmm.
But the one of the other things too is language. You and I were having a chat about that before we were on the show today, and language and what that does. And as a homeopath, I learned to really pay attention to the words people use, because it can help to figure out the remedy they need. And I thought about all the times in my life I had said something like, it breaks my heart. It's like a knife in my heart. It rips my heart out. All this heart imagery. And guess what my body did? It was listening.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and also, as you know, with the transgenerational stuff that I do, the constellations, there could be someone who died of a broken heart who was really wounded in a previous generation, 5 to 10 generations ago, and that energy kind of just stays in the DNA of the heart stem cells generation after generation. So that's why it's important to resolve the past so we can be fully present and healthy in our bodies. So there's much there, and I will use that information, so thank you for that. I greatly appreciate it. So, you know, so we've heard some of the negatives about how you got here, which is great because that's the catalyst to get to the positive here. So what was the first step you took when you began your personal journey of self-healing?
Oh, after my tantrum, when I got really frustrated and fed up with being sick and I'd run out of options, and I thought, expletive, I'm going to fix this, right? I was mad. And I thought, right, I didn't really have a plan, but I do remember the first big smack in the head was shortly after that. I tried going for a walk because I thought, right, I need some exercise. That was my first thing. Let's go for a walk. And for many years, that had been a difficult thing most of the time. Either I've got joints dislocating, my hip would pop out, or my heart would act up, or both. So like 5 minutes and forget it. You know, I'm limping painfully trying to get back home because of my dislocated knee or hip, or I've got such bad angina that I'm struggling to breathe. So I'm going for a walk and I'm going to go one block. Like I'm pushing myself, right? I'm going to do this.
Right.
And it was, so I'm going for this 5 minute walk and things start not going well and I'm angry with my body. And I'm sort of yelling at it. Like, what is your problem? You know, for God's sake, you can't even manage it. And there was something in that moment I realized, if I spoke to my friends like that, I wouldn't have friends very long. I thought about all the years that I'd been yelling at my body, angry with it because it didn't work properly. I remembered, like, I should have known this, but, you know, I'm superhuman, I guess, and it only counts for everybody else. But I realized, as I knew from being a homeopath, our bodies are telling us something. Our symptoms are the only way that our bodies have to tell us something's not right. And it's a mental and emotional thing, right? There's a mental and emotional root, and the body's trying to say, this is what's going on in your life. You need
pay
to
pay attention.
Fix it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And so so that was kind of the starting point, and I realized my poor body, I've been beating it up verbally. I've been bashing myself, my physical body, just like I had been emotionally and physically abused through my life.
Right.
And I thought, oh my God, I'm doing that to my body. And I realized it was, you know, we're a team. I can't order it around. We're not two separate beings, because I had felt like we're two separate beings. And you'll just do what I say, damn it, you know? And I realized, oh my God, I've been sending my body hate mail. And and the message coming through loud and clear is that it's feeling beaten up and, you know, it's doing its best. And I needed to give it a really big apology. And I cried. I cried through the whole thing. I hugged my body the best I could. I mean, I got home and sat in my chair, and I just cried. And I sent my body love and gratitude for what does work, and this huge apology for having just been so mean. That was so powerful.
That's quite interesting. And just so you came in contact with that at a deep level, you know, sometimes I feel it's almost like our soul or our heart or soul or our gut needs to give us a wake-up call because our mind is so busy processing and focusing maybe on the wrong things, but it feels right to the mind or the egoic mind anyway that we're doing the correct things. But then our body just kind of acts up and says, stop, you know, just pay attention here.
Yep. And I grew up being told, you know, just fight through it. And, you know, you like I didn't dare ask for help because, well, there wasn't any anyway. So I learned if I needed something done, I had to do it myself. And I'm not supposed to ask for help and I have to be strong. And, you know, I'm a single parent and I'm raising all these kids and I have to do everything. And like there wasn't the idea of being gentle with myself or loving with myself, like forget it. Cause I wasn't shown that, and I was that for everybody else, but I didn't feel like I deserved it because I was always told I didn't deserve it. So that was a real eye-opener for me, too. It was like, oh, wait a minute. I do deserve to take care of myself.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And how does your personal – we spoke before about your personal environment playing a role in your health.
Oh, yeah, things like toxic relationships, and the closer they are, the more destructive they can be. Of course, that's really damaging when you've got some emotionally toxic situation going on, and it keeps us in a negative place, and there's all that negativity going into our bodies. And I know, like, even as a hypnotist, actually, this hit me one night when I was in the middle of this self-healing journey, and it's been 6 years now since then, so it's been 6 years I've been really healthy, healthiest I've ever been in my life. But I remember doing hypnosis for somebody one night, and he was here to stop smoking. So I was in my head thinking, you know, you have to be careful how you word it. You can't say negatives. You can't say, well, you won't want to smoke, because the subconscious he doesn't hear the negatives. It doesn't hear things like won't. So all it hears is you want to smoke. So as I was being careful and changing my language, it struck me, wow, you know, the subconscious isn't designed to tolerate the negative. We aren't designed to tolerate the negative. It's our beings. We cannot function with a negative environment. When you're watching a violent film, for example, it may be fiction, but your body can't tell the difference, and your mind is getting all this negativity and sending all these negative messages to your body, and it absorbs all of that. So toxic relationships or living in a dark, chaotic, cluttered home, you know, if home is messy and dirty and or EMFs, I mean, my goodness, we're loaded with electronics and devices and electrical things.
Wireless, all this wireless thing people don't. I'm very afraid of the 5G that's coming too, that's supposed to be like microwaving all our technology at a high frequency that may not be good for the human body.
Oh, dear, that's terrifying.
Yeah, that's coming in the next year or so. Everyone's going from 4G to 5G globally. So it's a little scary what's going on here with new microwave towers all over the place and everything for a stronger signal, I guess. So, so do you just make sure your environment, just for our listeners to know that they can proactively do things in the environment to reduce either toxicity, either with friends that are very negative, and maybe they're not really your friends, or do you challenge your friends? Say you have a friend that's really negative and toxic. It's all about them and poor me kind of conversation. Do you feel like you can just say, hey, we're not going to be friends if you just do this pity party every time we talk? And or maybe ask them a serious question like, what do you get out of being a victim? To kind of shake them up.
Yeah, it was hard to get to that point. And yeah, I'm a helper. I'm a giver, and I like to help if I can, and I'm a good listener. So it's, you know, people go through things. I go through things, and it's been nice to have people who will listen. So there's some of that that's quite appropriate, right? But then there are the ones you offer, you know, they ask for your advice or your, you know, an input or suggestions or whatever. So you try to help. You give them some suggestions. They don't do anything about it. They just want to stay stuck. So, yeah, those people who really don't want to be helped, they just want to complain and complain. I just eventually depending on the situation, I might confront them, or I'll just pull away kind of quietly, and because they're not going to hear you anyway. They're going to make it
right,
be there's going to be an excuse or something. So I just don't really.
But it's fascinating.
It really is.
So what's one of the most powerful pieces of information you've discovered regarding the ability to heal ourselves?
Oh, my gosh, Gary. There were so many when I started doing research
have a good 6 or 7 minutes left, so go for it.
Oh, good. Well, there's one that I really want to share with you, but there were so many, and the book is loaded with science. There's just science behind so many of the things that I learned that prove that we really do have the ability to heal ourselves. But the one that really was the most shocking, I think, to me was, I guess it shouldn't have been, as a hypnotist, I understand the power of the mind, but people who have, I think now they call it dissociative identity disorder, it used to be multiple personality disorder. So I'd heard years ago that there was somebody who had this disorder and they had a personality that was insulin-dependent diabetic, but all the other personalities could have all the sugar they wanted with no problem.
Wow.
And I remember I remember thinking, I'm going to investigate this, because all these little tidbits had started coming together after I had that tantrum. Suddenly it was just like this whole project, and the book and everything, it's all been like divinely led, that I was meant to go through this so I could get this information so I could write this book. But anyway, so I investigated this thing about the multiple personalities, and there are loads of documented cases around the world of people who, yes, they might have a personality that's got insulin-dependent diabetes. They've got other ones. Maybe there's one that's anaphylactic when it has nuts, but the other ones can eat all the nuts they want without any ill effects. And then they can have different menstrual cycles if you got different women, so they can be having a whole bunch in a month, because they're all on a different cycle. The most shocking thing was there were even all these documented cases where some of the personalities would have burns or scars or tumors that would come and go depending on the personality that was in control. Doesn't that just blow your doors off?
Exactly. Yeah, that really is quite amazing. And that the human body could contain those reactions of different beings inside the same body is mind-boggling.
It really is. But, it's just astonishing when you think that a person could have a whole, like a big, very visible burn that disappears when another personality is in control and then reappears when the other one comes back. But it's because of belief. It's because of belief. This personality experienced it, so it's there. The other personality didn't experience it, not there. So that is so astonishing, that the power of our minds is just unbelievable. And so people poo-poo the placebo effect, but the placebo effect is like one of the best healers we have.
Well, and even when people are given drugs, how do we know how much that the drug that's given is, a doctor gave me this to heal. It's going to heal their body because the doctor said this will help you. And how do we know how much of the placebo effect is in the medication? You know what I mean? That your intention with the doctor and yourself to use it, is it really the medication or is it the placebo effect that, yes, he gave me something? I view Western doctors as good daddies. Everyone wants a good daddy who'll take care of them. So they go, oh, please, daddy, take care of me. I don't feel good. Oh, we'll take this pill and you'll feel better. So just that metaphor of the doctors or Western medicine being positive father figures, I think, gives them tremendous power. And I wonder if the placebo effect is more at play than the actual substance that's being prescribed.
I'm sure sometimes that is.
Just interesting to think of that way.
I think sometimes that does work. And sometimes it's the opposite effect. And I certainly discovered that through this journey with my own heart problem, because I was I still am a diehard homeopath. I totally believe in how it works and the power of it. I've seen miraculous things in comatose patients and babies and animals when they aren't consciously aware of what's happening. But But I would take remedy after remedy, believing this one will do it, this one will do it, oh, this one's in it, and it nothing helps. So sometimes
right.
the belief doesn't necessarily,
mm-hmm.
you know, doesn't necessarily work. But, yeah, I do think there are lots of times when it does
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. And now do you feel you can guide people either? I know where you do psychic, deeply intuitive, and a medium as well. Do you feel you can guide people to what's the root cause or something that's unresolved, whether it's in their past or previous life or whatever that's manifesting as a physical challenge?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily look at past life. I can just kind of pick up something that's going on, whether it's this one or from somewhere else. I don't really
mm-hmm.
know. But I can,
yeah.
Because of that ability and because of I have a background in social work and counseling too, so, and then my own healing journey too. So I tend to use my intuition, my psychic ability to kind of, it's like a laser-focused look
yeah.
inside a person, what's going on, and looking at the emotional issues in their lives and figuring out how that's playing out in life, so that
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like a whole bunch of hours of counseling condensed into an appointment where, you know, you can just cut through everything and just look at it.
Yep.
That's
like that. What happens with constellations as well. So I know it very well for my modalities here. We have a special for our listeners when this airs, when your book gets closer to publication, and I'm very excited to read it because I think, are you writing it so it will also, it'll be your own story, but you're going to give people hints and things they can do to start looking at ways they can heal themselves too,
oh,
to guide them on their
absolutely.
Journey?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's loaded with information, and it's layered. The way I'm writing it is, it does talk a bit about my own journey because I was
mm-hmm.
the experiment, really.
Right.
And I started keeping track because I was seeing results, and I thought, well, I think I'm seeing results, but am I just inventing this? So I thought I better keep track.
Mm-hmm.
So I was writing things down. But yes, it's got very specific. It starts with very basic information and kind of goes through like a layering of, you know, you start
mm-hmm.
here and then you look at this and look at that. There is a ton of information in this book that gives people loads of opportunity to start really looking at their health in a completely different way, looking at their bodies in a different way, and examining so many different steps. I mean, I can't even, it's a big book. There's a lot in there.
Well, that's fantastic.
Well,
we'll have to do another interview, too, as soon as we get it out there. And it's
Thanks.
Been wonderful to talk to you. Now, you were going to give a special offer for your other skills here as being a fantastic
right.
medium and psychic as well. So,
thank you.
Yes. And also your contact information. We have about a minute left, so we have to skedaddle
okay.
here.
Real quick. Well,
so
I will quickly say a huge, huge thank you to you, first of all. I want to thank you. And then people can contact me at info@yourstoryofhope.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the offer is $25 off my $150 readings. That's for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The readings or guidance,
mm-hmm.
guidance hour, whatever you want to call it. It's
mm-hmm.
a little bit of both.
Great. Yes. And
they have to write the word constellations in their message to
yes,
me so that I
yes,
know that
they will.
For you.
Yeah, and I just want our listeners at Conscious Connection to know that I'm a client, and I'm totally appreciative of the depth and scope of Liberty Skills here. So I hope you tune into that, not to mention her forthcoming book, which I'll pressure her to get it out there quicker so we can do some more shows on the book too.
Thank you,
Excellent.
Gary.
Excellent. Well, we just have under a minute left. Is there any parting thought you'd like to leave with our audience at Conscious Connection Liberty?
Just be really grateful for the parts of your body that actually work. Really be grateful for it. Send it gratitude and send it love. And really look at every choice you make that impacts your life and your body and start seeing
mm-hmm.
where you can make some shifts into something healthier.
Mm. Lovely. Yes, because, hey, if we don't love our body, how's our body going to serve us? So many people forget that. It's our vehicle, you know, at this lifetime anyway, from birth to we get delivered to eternity again when we pass.
Right.
Well, it's always
right.
wonderful to speak to you, and I will put this out there as you get closer, and Very excited about this. So my guest on Conscious Connection is Liberty Forrest, and you can contact her directly at info@yourstoryofhope.com. This is Gary Stewart wishing all our listeners of Conscious Connection a lovely namaste. Till next time, thank you.